So good to have you with us on Air Talk. I'm Larry Matz. We'll remind you, Fresh Air with Terry Gross comes up at noon, and Cherry Jones is going to be Terry's guest, the wonderful actor nominated for an Emmy for her performance in Succession, the series. She's already won 2 Emmys for 24 and The Handmaid's Tale. Of course, a great Broadway star as well, Cherry Jones, with Terry Gross on Fresh Air, coming up at noon, right here on 89.3 KPECC and the KPECC app. Well, I have to admit ignorance. I hadn't heard of OnlyFans until hearing the story last week about actor Bella Thorne reportedly making $2 million in subscriptions from her fans on the social media platform OnlyFans in a single week. Now, OnlyFans has been very popular with adult performers who are able to distribute the content to their subscribers and to have a more personalized kind of interaction with their fans on the site. But Cardi B joined the site earlier in the month to share behind-the-scenes footage with her fans. So the question is, what is OnlyFans? What does it uniquely offer? What are the pros and cons of it? Joining us is Arabelle Raphael, who is a producer of adult content, a sex worker, and OnlyFans content maker based in the San Francisco Bay Area. Arabelle, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Hi.
First of all, how do you use OnlyFans to distribute your content?
Yeah, right. So there's a lot of different ways to approach a site and different models. I use OnlyFans by charging like a fairly low subscription rate, and I post to my main feed. It's a kind of setup like Twitter. You've got the main feed and then you have the DMs, right? And so posting to my main feed and then selling additional content via the DMs to my subscribers.
So the people can direct message and you can provide content specifically for an individual, and you negotiate what the fee is going to be for that on OnlyFans?
Yeah, I don't negotiate my prices,
We're talking with Arabelle Raphael, who's a producer of adult content. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, no, it's okay. I don't negotiate my prices. I have a set price rate for different things. So, like, you can sell content like videos, photos. You can also sell services like phone sex or sexting or Skype shows. Or there's quite a lot of different other services you can kind of use OnlyFans as a marketplace for. What I'll do is tend to like put out a new clip about twice a week, and I'll send that out via the DMs, and people will have to like pay to view it. And also, people can message me if they want to like do something like
customized content. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And I also sell custom content. So yeah, there's a lot of different ways you can use the platform.
Also with a senior writer for Wired, where he covers pop culture, Jason Parham. Jason, thank you very much for being with us. How has OnlyFans evolved in recent months?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Larry. It's great to be here. Yeah, so OnlyFans started around 2016 by Timothy Stokely, this guy out of London. It picked up steam, I would say, about 2 years ago, a year ago, more mainstream content. But it kind of works, like Arabelle was saying, like a marketplace. I kind of like to think of it as a X-rated Instagram, in a sense, right? Where you have creators of all sorts. You have people like Bella Thorne and Cardi B, more influential celebrities who are on the platform now, but you have fitness and beauty influencers, you have travel bloggers, you have musicians, you have drag performers, and then you have people like sex workers and adult entertainers who make up the sort of main crux of the site.
And are there advantages for sex workers to be able to use this site? Is a more direct way to monetize their content than it is the traditional way of sexually explicit material being sold?
I think it's definitely the most easiest and customizable way to do it, and I think it naturally makes sense now, being in the pandemic and everybody's home, and it's easy to connect with fans through OnlyFans this way, right? It's I can call in or I can send a message and say, hey, I want this or I want that, or we can come to an agreement about something, and for the certain price, you know, a fan can get whatever they want. Almost whatever they want.
Yeah, I'd love to hear from listeners who either provide content on OnlyFans, or if you are following someone, subscribing to someone's content on OnlyFans, I'd like to hear your thoughts about it. We're at 866-893-KPCC. That's 866-893-5722 or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Arabelle, you've worked in the traditional porn business, and I'm wondering what the difference is. I would assume one of the biggest is you have full control this way.
Right. You have full control of who you're working with, how you're marketed, the way, you know, from the ideas of like from the role play to who you're choosing to work. It's a big difference. It's also a great way for, I think it's brought a lot of independence to adult performers too. Like, I haven't been part of like mainstream porn in years at this point. Now that folks aren't so dependent on mainstream porn companies, there's a lot more agency, right? So like, people can be choosier about what kind of content or what companies they'll work with because they're not solely dependent on theirs. So it's given performers a lot more independence and freedom, really. And I've been making content for about 7 years. I've never seen this amount of money through any other platform.
And that's even with all the free content that's out from the tube sites and things like that. It's still highly profitable for performers like yourself?
Oh, yeah, very much so. Yeah, like I'm someone, there's a lot of content, free content of me out there. But like, first, I make good content. Second, like, you know, you have devoted fans that like do want to support, you know, their favorite performers directly, and it's just so much more personal, right? There's like, you can be messaging with like the person that you've like followed for years. It's very different from the other platforms, and it's just the popularity too. Like, I think because it's mainstreamed so much, right? Like Beyonce like sang about it, right? So did like our Cardi B joined, right? It's mainstreamed to a point where like a lot of people who may have not subscribed to other porn sites are subscribing to OnlyFans. So, like, I'm pretty sure OnlyFans has to be making, and maybe the other guest knows this, has to be making the most money that I've seen any other, like, clip platform, like, let's say, like, ManyVids or Pornhub, right? Those are other marketplaces. Just the amount of money that goes through OnlyFans is pretty wild.
We're talking with Arabelle Raphael, who is a sex worker, producer of adult content, and creates content on OnlyFans as well, where fans can subscribe to their favorite performers. We're talking about its apparent increase among people doing other kinds of content, social media influencers doing all kinds of, whether it's beauty tips or workout productions, or actors providing behind-the-scenes access to what goes on in their lives, as Cardi B's strategy for the footage that she's offering her fans on OnlyFans. Jason Parham is senior writer for Wired, where he covers pop culture. Again, if you're someone who provides content on OnlyFans or subscribes to people that you follow, I'd like to hear your experience. 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. Jason, what is OnlyFans cut out of this?
So influencers and creators, as they're known on the site, they're known as creators. Of the money that they make, influencers and creators get 80% of that, and OnlyFans takes the 20% cut, which is processing fees and a few other things. I don't have actual figures, up-to-date figures, but I know that since the pandemic started, the site has totaled maybe more than 4 million signups, and 100,000 of those are creators in and of itself.
Wow.
So it's pretty massive compared to the other platforms like Just for Fans and For My Fans. It's so almost the premier, you know, adult fan site.
So what's your sense of how many of these Instagram influencers are gravitating to OnlyFans and looking as that a way to boost their income?
Right. It almost for me feels like a natural evolution of influencer culture, right? So you have, we're in a very interesting time where we're stuck inside and we're seeing a sort of an explosion of the gig workforce where we're looking, where people are moving into sort of more independent independent contractors working on their own. And so I think it's been really massive in the sense of the people that are coming on the platform.
What's your sense of the ability of this to work for other types of performers, musicians, performance artists, who knows, as well as actors who just have such a fan base that they're willing to pay to see what they have for breakfast.
Right.
How you anticipate this booming as time goes on?
Right. I see this as almost like a platform of the future in a way, right? I think ever since, I would say Bella Thorne and Cardi B are obviously the most popular creators on the site, but I think with them coming on, it sort of gives the site a sort of cachet and cultural capital that it never had before. Because before, it was mostly a platform for sex workers, adult performers, and just people really looking to make an extra buck. And now you have the sort of legitimacy that I think Timothy Stokely, the CEO, has been looking for. I think OnlyFans is incredible and revolutionary in a lot of ways, but now you have this sort of both sides of it. You have influencers who are into sex work, but you also just have the regular stuff that's happening on the platform as well that we're seeing with Cardi B and other people.
Javier in Long Beach, good to have you with us. I understand your wife offers content on OnlyFans. Is that right?
Yes, my wife started an OnlyFans around a year ago. And at the beginning, it somewhat just took off right away. And when the pandemic hit, it seemed we would make the numbers bigger. And we were making up to around 15,000 a month, and it's basically it's just basically like running an Instagram, except maybe she'll have a couple of topless posts instead of just a regular post. And her name is Dazon Doja, OnlyFans, and she just
and you're her promoter off here, clearly.
She's at the top point. They gauge it in percentage, and she's in the top point 9%, like less than the top 1%. So to be like that successful on that is a blast. And we're just hoping OnlyFans keeps going because the money is so insane.
That's a lot of money. 15 grand a month, you said? Wow.
Yeah, the payments sometimes are up to 4,000 a week. They pay us weekly.
Now, Javier, how has any of your wife's content ended up on free sites or elsewhere, or are there ways that the content is protected?
You know what? OnlyFans is very good with protecting it. She has sites made every day using her name, and it's easy. She just contacts OnlyFans, emails them, and such stuff like that, and all of a sudden, those sites are actually taken off.
Wow. Javier, thanks so much. Appreciate your sharing that with us about your wife and how well she's doing on OnlyFans. Jason Parham of Wired. It sounds like a great opportunity for people to make money in this. But I wonder about if at some point you reach so many people offering content, it waters down the revenue for everybody.
I mean, this is the worry I think some influencers that I had been talking to when I was reporting this in December. Right before the pandemic, the sort of online pleasure climate was already getting more crowded. And then with the pandemic, everybody's online, it was becoming even more sort of like claustrophobic in a way. So it's tough. It's hard to gauge where and how much and how many people, like what's the limit? Where's the ceiling, right? Like right now, it seems almost endless.
All right. I want to thank you so much for being with us, Jason Parham of Wired, where he's senior writer. And my thanks to Arabelle, Raphael, who is a sex worker and producer of explicit content for OnlyFans, talking about the growing popularity, particularly in the pandemic, of the subscription-based social media site. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. Coming up, we hear listeners share their camping experiences. If they're relatively inexperienced or haven't camped in years, I want to hear from you. If you've gone out camping because it's now one of the ways you can safely vacation during the pandemic, do you have anything you had to relearn or learn when you got to the campsite? 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. Novice campers, I want to hear from you in 90 seconds.